is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the haunting hour.
Tell it to someone, and well, I guess you've heard a lot of strange stories. I'm Catherine Holland. It all started about a year after I come to work for Martin Reed and Stephen Corey as the housekeeper. Oh, it had such fun, the three of us. Martin was forever making me promise that I'd be with them always. Always. I didn't know how long that could be.
Longer, Stephen.
What do you mean?
Well,
I can't stay here with just you. It isn't proper.
Kathy, you know I would...
Oh, I know, but what'll people think?
I don't care about people. They're not important.
Well, they are to me. I have a good reputation, Stephen, and I don't...
Kathy, don't leave me.
Oh, but I must.
Losing Martin was unbearable, but if I lost you, I'd have nothing left.
I'm sorry, Stephen.
There'd be no one to care if I live or die. If you go, I'll be all alone.
You'll find another housekeeper.
Housekeeper? Oh, Kathy, dearest, don't be such a little fool.
I'm not a fool.
You are. You can't see how much I love you.
You love me? Oh, no.
How could I help it? You're sweet and fresh and lovely. And I never knew before what joy it was to watch a woman. Anything you do, the way you walk and laugh, even the way you get angry, it's beautiful.
Oh, keep away from me. I don't know what's come over you.
I was content just having you about the house, being near you. But now... Oh, my darling, you mustn't go away.
Oh, please don't look at me like that. Please, Stephen.
Dearest, let's get married. I'll make you happy.
No, I don't love you. Don't touch me. Oh, I like you a lot. I'm very fond of you, but... Oh, it's not love. I could never love you.
Why, Kathy? I'll make you a good husband.
Oh, no, Stephen, no. You're twice my age.
But I'd worship you, Kathy, dearest.
Oh, would you quit bawling Kathy, dearest, at me like a lost lamb? I'm going to the house and pack my things.
I won't let you go. You belong to me.
I don't belong to anyone. If you don't get out of my way, I'll throw this rock at you.
There's someone else. You love someone else.
No, no, Stephen, I just don't love you. Don't come near me or I'll throw it, I swear.
Kathy, oh!
I told you I would, didn't I? Why couldn't you believe me? Well, get up. Stephen. He was lying on his back, motionless. I bent over him and... His face, the rock had caught him between the eyes. I couldn't think. I was terrified. I only knew that Stephen was dead, that I had killed him. A murderess, that's what everybody would say. They put me on trial, all those faces gaping at me like I wasn't human, and then they'd... No. I had to get out of here. The road past the graveyard. If I followed it, I'd reach the main highway. I'd run. I'd run so fast, no one would catch me. It was dark. The body wouldn't be found till morning. By then, I'd be far away. Where could I go? Where could I hide? Flying down the road for hours and hours. See, my legs were numb and my heart tearing and my chest deafening me with its thunder. No, that wasn't my heart. It was a car. They were looking for me. So now they've found Stephen already. Well, just getting nearer and nearer. I sit behind the tree. The lying at the foot of Martin's grave, I remembered. From where I was, I couldn't make out the body. Well, that wasn't right. The old man was buried directly across from the house. I should be able to see Stephen. I slipped through the gate. Hurried to where the corpse had lain. It was gone. There wasn't a trace of it. I dropped to my hands and knees, searching about the new mound of earth for some proof that it hadn't all been a nightmare, that I'd really killed Stephen. There wasn't anything. No matted grass where the blood should have dried. Nothing fallen from his pockets. Not even the stone with which I'd struck him. And it was so quiet. So deathly quiet. With the moon whitewashing Martin's headstone. And the one next to it. The one next to it. But there hadn't been any grave there before. And this one was fresh. As fresh as Martin's. I slowly raised my eyes and looked at the tombstone.
Stephen Corey, born May 9th, 1901. Died April 20th, 1944.
Why, I'd know that carving anywhere. Martin was dead. But Martin had made that gravestone.
Kathy, stand in the moonlight, staring at the grave plaque of Stephen Corey, a plaque identical with the one Martin had made for himself before he died.
And yet, how could Martin have carved that headstone? He'd not made one for Stephen before he died. I knew that. Still, Stephen had been buried, and the date on the monument was right. Oh, I felt the answer, but I pushed it back away from my mind. It couldn't be true that Martin had kept his promise even now and had carved the stone. That these dead who were Stephen's friends had buried him. Had he loved me so, he wouldn't make me pay for what I'd done. Did he plead with them to cover him so I'd not be found out? I didn't know. I was paralyzed with fright. I had to get out of here back to the house before I lost my sanity. I don't know how long I lay there, cowering in my bed. At last, the darkness of the night closed in about me, and I slept. But then, out of the darkness, the doorbell rang. Sharp sound, a streak of fear over my flesh. The police had come. Stephen's grave had been discovered. I had to go to the door.
Are you Catherine Holland? I'm Estelle Bailey, Martin's sister.
Oh, yes, I should have known. Come in, Mrs. Bailey.
Stephen sent me a telegram this afternoon about Martin's death, and I took the first train out here. I'm sorry if I woke you.
Oh, that's quite all right. Come in. I know it's been a long trip. Perhaps I can fix you a bite to eat.
No, thank you. I'd like you to take me to see the grave right away.
Martin's grave? Now?
Miss Holland, I hadn't seen Martin for 9 years. I'm ashamed of that, and I want to rectify it now as soon as I can. If you won't take me, perhaps Mr. Corey will.
Oh, he's not here. He's in town.
Well, I'll wait up till he comes in.
Oh, you'll wait a long time.
I don't understand.
Well, Stephen was quite shocked by your brother's death, you know, and, well, he felt he had to get away from this house, so, well, he mightn't be back tonight.
But if he went into town, why didn't he meet me at the station as he wrote he would?
Well, I don't know. Every moment she sat there, she'd think more and more about Stephen's absence. I had to distract her the only way I could. I had to take the chance that she wouldn't notice that other headstone. But if she did notice it, I would have to kill her, too. But just then, something happened to spare us both.
Oh, what happened? Oh, look, it's raining again.
Yes, the moon's gone in. It's pitch black outside.
Then there's no use going into the cemetery, I suppose.
I'm afraid not, Mrs. Bailey. What a shame. waited until I knew she slept. Then I took a spade and crept across to the cemetery. It was wet and cold, but I didn't notice the weather. For I had a scheme. A very clever scheme. I was going to dig up someone else's headstone as well as Stephen's and switch the two. I couldn't disguise his new-made grave, but at least I'd conceal who was buried there. But just before dawn, I slipped back to the house. Mrs. Bailey woke me about 8, and together we went to the cemetery. I came up level with the graves and... Oh, no. So it couldn't be. Well, I switched them last night.
Stephen Corey, born May 9th, 1901. Died April 20th, 1944.
His headstone. Exactly where it had been before. But I had dug it up. There were blisters on my hands to prove it. Mrs. Bailey, had she noticed? No. She'd gone right to her brother's grave and stood staring at it, wiping away the tears.
I'm very glad of one thing, Miss Holland, that Martin is buried a little apart from everyone else. He liked to be alone most of the time, you know. Even in death, he would prefer solitude and being isolated from all the others.
Solitude? Isolated from all the others? But Stephen was lying right by his side. She couldn't see Stephen's headstone. It was incredible, but it was true.
Come, Miss Holland, it's raining. We might as well go now. I'll take the early train back to the city.
After she'd gone, the house was empty, yet full of a screaming silence. And I sat looking out at the grayness of a lonesome day. Had there really been a grave at all? Growing inside me was a grim fascination to see. The mud stuffed at my shoes. Through the dust, I walked determinedly toward that spot where the headstone stood. I slipped to the fence. Then I was standing beside the tree, leaning against it. So I couldn't believe what I saw. There, beside the others, stood a third headstone. And stretching almost at my feet, a freshly dug grave. Even before I crept forward to see, I knew what the plaque would say.
Catherine Holland, born June 7th, 1923, dead April
21st, 1945. Tonight. April 21st. That was tonight. And I was still alive. Martin, listen to me wherever you are. I said I'd be with you always. But you can't force me to follow you. You can't force me to follow you. Tears filled my eyes. I took hold of the hateful stone and tried to flatten it into the ground. Tried to... Then through the tears, I saw the dark bruises on my hands. Bruises on my hands, but it wasn't possible that... I touched one of the dark splotches. It rubbed away. Then the truth went through my mind. I fell to my knees. The letters. The letters I thought were carved into the stone. They too were blurred. I drew my finger along my name. It was lettered in black crayon. Thick, archaic lettering. Darker toward the middle than at the edges, giving the illusion of depth, giving the illusion of being cut into the stone. Then that's how Stephen's headstone was made. That's how. I stood up. Fear fell over me like a cold, wet sheet. Behind this adventure was a human being, a being like myself. Then I saw the thing in the grass, sending a tiny sparkle toward the dust-filled sky, and greedily I picked it up. A copper-colored metal cap from an eyebrow pencil. So that was how the letters had been drawn. That was how this thing had happened. Then I knew who had done it. And even before I turned to look, I knew she was standing there, staring at me, unmoving, a thin smile on her lips. Her eyebrows thin, too, penciled on with surety and deftness.
Turn around, Miss Holland. I see you have guessed the truth.
It was you. You killed him.
But do you think my conscience will hurt me as yours does? Would it make your death any easier to know you didn't kill Stephen Corey?
I don't understand you.
I'm telling you the truth. I came into the cemetery just as the last visitor left, and I saw you throw the rock at Corey. I saw you run for the road. You hadn't killed him, Miss Holland. He was only unconscious. But I made sure he was dead before I buried him.
Then you dug the grave here. That spade in your hand.
Will serve a double purpose. I shall kill you with it.
Just as you murdered Corey. Why? Why did you kill him?
Because Martin had willed all the family property to Corey, with the provision that when he died, it would return to me. I knew if his body weren't discovered, they'd think you and he had run away together. Then I'd have to wait for him to be declared legally dead.
And so you put up the plaque.
I felt sure I could persuade the county coroner to file a death certificate quietly. Then I'd show my lawyer the grave, show him that Corey, too, was dead. But you came back, so I have to kill you, too. Now you know the truth. Your time has come.
That spade, Mrs. Bailey.
It's for you, Miss Holland.
Stay back from me. Stay back.
I'm going to kill you.
I'm not afraid, Mrs. Bailey. You're real. I can fight you.
This will be your grave, and I shall bury you in it.
Give me that spade. Give it to me. No, here. No. That spade. Mrs. Bailey. My eyes were clouded with flashes of blackness. I lay on the ground, feeling the cold, wet earth against my cheek. Without warning, it had happened. One wall of the grave gave way, and she lost her balance and fell forward into the gaping hole. Dirt from the mound began rolling down, clods of it covering the edges of her long skirt. And she lay still, silent, at the bottom of the grave. Wet clods of earth were still slowly tumbling down, as if they had an intelligence of their own, an intelligence that told them to bury the dead, bury the dead. So she was dead, and she had died instantly, her neck twisted beneath her loosened, flowing hair that hid the hideous sight of her eyebrows, thin and long. Her neck was broken, and she lay in the grave she had meant for me. Now I've told it, I can forget the horror of what's happened. But not soon. Not soon. One way Martin was right. In my brain, he and Stephen will be with me always.